Hi, and welcome to the Facts of Your Fertility, Real Experts, Real Options, Real Results Telesummit. I'm your host, Monica Osagen. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We're going to be talking with Barbara Loomis today, and Barbara is a restorative exercise specialist and certified practitioner and educator of the Arvago techniques of Maya Abdominal Therapy, as well as a certified Chine Song and a visceral manipulation therapist. She combines abdominal therapies, restorative exercise, and natural movement for reproductive, digestive, and pelvic floor health. So a lot of things going on there, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So glad you can be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
All right, why don't we start? There are so many, it seems like there's a lot of techniques that you use and therapies. Can you just kind of give us a brief description about how you use them and what they are?
Sure. So I started with the Chine Song, which is Chinese abdominal therapy, and it's a blend of massage, qigong, and breath work. And it's been used for centuries by Taoist monks to purify their bodies on their path to enlightenment. But it also helps reduce restrictions in the pelvic organs and helps remove or release emotional stresses held in our internal organs. And so I was doing that therapy for a while, but we left, or at the time, my training was leaving out direct manipulation of the uterus, but working with the kidneys and the liver, all of that directly affects reproductive health. So I heard about Dr. Rosita Arvago, and she's a naturopathic physician, so she specializes in ligaments and muscles. And she apprenticeshiped with Donna Leahil Ponte in Belize, one of the last Maya shamans of Belize, and she apprenticed with him for 13 years and some other Maya midwives. And so the Arvago techniques of Maya abdominal therapy is a combination of her work as a naturopath and ancient abdominal therapies, Maya spiritual healing, and herbalism. And that therapy focuses more on reproductive health. It's really well known for mobilizing and correcting a uterine position for fertility enhancement and other reproductive issues. And visceral manipulation is born from osteopathic techniques, so it's very subtle, gentle techniques that really tune into the internal organs' motility and mobility, so you can really tune into what's going on with the fallopian tubes and where exactly the restrictions are and how to mobilize and release those in around the tubes, the uterus, the ovaries, and all the other abdominal organs as well. And then the restorative exercise is based on Katie Bowman's work as a biomechanist, the study of natural human movement. And when I took that training, I really took it for myself, but I realized that I needed to apply this to every single person that came in for fertility enhancement or reproductive issues because it was such an important piece. And so really dependent on who's coming through the door, what they're presenting in the moment, I may interweave all of those modalities into a treatment. Does that make sense?
It does. Can you share, you know, you're talking about when somebody comes in, you're going to evaluate what's going on, and then, you know, that'll depend on what you use. So can you give us an example of someone that you worked with and kind of walk us through that, somebody that was having fertility issues?
Sure. So the first thing I do is do a general listening. And so they're standing in front of me, facing away from me, and I'll just put my hand gently on the top of their head. And the body will hug whatever lesion or restriction is in the forefront that needs to be worked on first. So the body knows better than I do what needs to be done. So if someone comes in with fertility issues and even has a retroverted uterus, for instance, I could just jump in and do a retroverted uterine technique. But if they're liver or their sigmoid colon or rectum are calling out for attention first, or sacrum, I really need to work with that first. It's kind of like unwinding to get to the core issue. And so their body may pull in a certain direction, and it gives me an idea of where to start listening. And then I might go into a deeper listening, placing my hand over the area and seeing where their body's pulling me. So then I may start with the visceral manipulation. So, for instance, I had a lot of clients with retroversion. It's more common than, you know, I would have thought until I started doing this work and looking at structural patterns. And I'd say one of the gynecologists I talked to, she said 25% of the people that are coming in are receiving or have retroversions. And it's my most popular post on my Alignment Monkey blog. And so I'll also look at how she's sitting, because if she's sitting with a post-tilted pelvis, she's encouraging that retroversion. So we can do all this work to correct her uterine position, but if she walks out and she is walking out in her high heels, which is throwing her pelvis off, and then goes back to her work where she's sitting with a retroversion, it kind of undoes everything. So I really like to bring in a lot of self-care. And so with the retroversion technique I'm thinking about, or client I'm thinking about, she had the post-tilt, high heels. Her listening was taking me as deep into her lower belly, and there was restriction in her uterus. And so we did some releasing around her sacrum because there were some sacral restrictions as well. Taught her, had her transition out of the high heels, taught her some of the exercises to bring her pelvis into neutral without force, and did the retroversion techniques. And this case, I'm thinking about, she also had endometriosis and abdominal bloating and constipation from the retroversion. And so all of that ended up getting resolved, and it took a while because there was just so many layers going on, but she ended up getting pregnant. I'd say I'd worked with her for about a year. So that's one of my more extreme examples.
When you talk about retroversion, describe that exactly. That's the positioning of the uterus?
Yeah, so the uterus, you know, the uterus should be able to move in different directions. So it sits between the bladder and the rectum. And so when the rectum fills up, the uterus may move forward. When the bladder fills up, it may move back. It can move to the sides. It can side bend. It should be able to move like this. But the problem is when it's stuck in one position, it's not able to move with its own intrinsic motility, which all organs need for proper physiological function. So if it's stuck in one position because there's a adhesion from, say, an infection or old surgery or an old car accident, then it's constantly moving around an axis that can create fibrosis in the tissues and also change the cellular health of the organ. So a retroversion, sorry, to get back to your question, is when it's tipped backwards towards the rectum. And so there can be different degrees of retroversion. And the uterus weighs about 4 ounces when you're not menstruating, and up to 8 to 10 ounces right before and during your period. So that's a lot of extra weight on the rectum. And so it can cause constipation, thin stools, like pencil thin stools. It could cause foul smelling menses from toxins from the colon sweeping into the uterus. And so as you can see, it can cause a lot of fertility challenges. And
so those,
some women,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, some women do get pregnant when they have retroversion, but then there are a lot of times they can have, like my mom had retroversion with my little brother, and she had horrible back pain, constipation, and in severe cases, if it doesn't correct itself during pregnancy, which a lot of times it does around 5 months when the uterus gets heavy, it'll fall forward. But if it doesn't, there's a situation that's called incarcerated uterus where it's stuck in the back pelvic wall and can cause some serious problems.
So what are the main signs that we would know if we were experiencing the retroversion?
Yeah,
you were saying like constipation or?
Inner stools, back pain with your periods, sometimes headaches. In there's different positions, like I mentioned, how the uterus can be out of alignment. And so some of the symptoms may overlap. So, for instance, you could have a flexed forward uterus that weight is pulling on the uterine sacral ligament, that's causing the back pain. So it's not always necessarily retroversion that causes back pain. You can have painful intercourse in certain positions, fertility challenges, hormonal imbalances, because when the uterus is stuck out of position, it interferes with blood, arterial, venous, lymphatic, nervous, and energy flow. And so hormones are messengers carried through the blood. And if there's a disruption or congestion of venous blood and lymphatic toxins and cellular debris, then that hormonal communication is cut off as well. So does that make sense?
Yes. You talked about a lot of different techniques, and one of them that you said was the Maya abdominal massage therapy and how that is known for helping with fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does that differ than a typical massage? Like, can we go to any massage therapist and they're going to know about the abdominal massage?
There's a lot of differences and from regular massage. So a lot of, if you go to a massage therapist that just went through massage school, they may do a little belly massage, but it's not specific to the internal organs usually, and it's pretty surface. The Arvigo work, and there is a difference between Arvigo abdominal therapy and just Maya abdominal therapy, so they're not the same. So the Arvigo work would encompass from the top of the pubic bone to the bottom of the rib cage. So you're doing massage to help reposition the uterus. And we also teach the self-care massage to our clients, usually in the first or second session, so they can do their self-care massage in between. And we also do the upper belly, which helps relax the diaphragm because the abdominal aorta runs through the diaphragm and branches off blood supply to the ovaries and uterus. So if the diaphragm's tight, that can interfere with flow in the reproductive organs. We also work on the posterior part of the body, so deep around the sacrum and tailbone and lumbar area. This suspensory ligaments of the ovaries attach way up into lumbar 3. So if you put your hands at your waist and in that space between your hips and your rib cage, and that's pretty much where L3 is. And your suspensory ligaments attach there and have blood and lymph flow and interflow through there, through the ligaments. And so if you're congested and tight in the low back, that can interfere with hemodynamics and communication to and from the ovaries. So the Arvigo work also has supportive techniques such as the vaginal steams and castor oil packs and possibly herbal medicine depending on who you're working with, and possibly the Maya spiritual healing may be a part of that as well.
So when is the best time then to receive the abdominal massage? Is it something where if we are experiencing a lot of the things that you talked about the retroversion, and is it something you get done like monthly or weekly? And, you know, what if we're doing fertility treatments, or how does it tie in?
So ideally, we like to see women for 3 months prior to they start trying to conceive, because everything you do and don't do for the man and the woman has an effect on the health of the egg or the sperm in those 3 months. And so we ask women try not to conceive in those 3 months. But I know a lot of women don't find out about the Arvigo work until they've tried for years and they've tried everything and they don't want to put any time off. So we can work around that as well. But the reason why we ask is because you don't want to do the Arvigo work if you may be pregnant. And so if ideally we see a woman twice in the first month, and this is in general, it can really vary, and then once a month after that, post-menses, pre-ovulation, because we know they're not pregnant at that time. And then we ask them to do their self-care massage all month long if they know they're not pregnant. So if they're trying to conceive in those first months, they're losing about 2 weeks of doing their self-care. And the other reason why we ask them to give themselves 3 months, it may take 3 months to release any restrictions and in the uterus. And the uterus also goes through a cleansing and rebuilding phase. And so there could be old blood in the uterus that hasn't cleansed from months before, say if the uterus is actually flexed. And so women may notice it looks like coffee grounds, or which is dried old blood that comes out in those first couple months. Or they say it looks like sometimes tissue passes, or looks like chocolate syrup. And then usually by the third month, they're seeing a bright red oxygenated blood. And then with IVF, we, again, ideally 3 months prior, but I know it's not always practical. So it depends on where they're at in their IVF cycle, but typically we'd like to see them 5 times. So once a week for 4 weeks, and then that 3-day window between retrieval and transfer, that 3 to 6 days in that period, maybe once then. But the treatment would be different. It'd be a lot lighter because of the ovarian stimulation, and there can be some tenderness there. And so you want to work with someone that's familiar with working with the IVF cycle. And all of this I'll cover in the e-book as well, because I know it's a lot of
specifics. Right. It does sound like there are some specific ways we can tell that it's actually making a difference, the way our periods would be. Is that the main thing? Maybe less pain or more regular bowel movements. So there are definite signs that we can check as we're getting treatments.
Yes. And so it depends on where you're starting out and what's going on with you. But the first thing women usually see in the first month is more fertility fluid. You know, they're surprised at how much fertility fluid they're seeing, because really what you're doing with the Arvigo work is you're improving hemodynamics in the pelvis. You, like I said, you're improving blood and lymph and nerve and energy flow. So it makes sense that you're going to have less pelvic congestion and better fluid dynamics in general. So some women get hormonal headaches right before their period, and so that's another symptom that usually goes away, especially when combined with some of the other supportive therapies. In the first 3 months, it can vary what a woman experiences. Sometimes her periods can get worse in that first or second month. Not always. I'd say mostly they get better, but it can get worse as the uterus is twisting and turning and cramping to get all that blood out. And emotional stuff can come up as well. So it's the whole reason why I went into the abdominal massage is because clients were having these big emotional releases, especially working with the womb area. And so, and that can be cleansing and beneficial in a lot of ways to prepare yourself for pregnancy. Because I think a lot of times when women come in to see us, they're pretty angry at their bodies. They feel like their bodies have failed them. And so one thing that I love about this work, it gets you connected to your body's messages and appreciating your body for how hard it's working for you. And so it just builds that connection. And we do some meditation to fill the womb with that high vibration of love and gratitude. It's like preparing the crib for the newborn.
So when you're actually working with them with the massage, then you usually have like meditation like going on during or after, or something that you kind of have them do when they're at home?
Both. So I may, it depends on the woman and what she's comfortable with, but the first session is, there's a lot of technical stuff, you know, because I really want to make sure she gets the self-care massage correct so that she feels comfortable at home doing it. So there's a little more talking. And but at some point, if it seems appropriate, I may work in some of the Qine Song, like the heart healing sounds. And, you know, there's a Qigong exercise of smiling down to your heart and letting that flow over all the way down into the womb. And I may be doing Reiki or cranial sacral over the womb at the time, and just talking her through this meditation. And I include part of it in the ebook as well for the self-care massage piece. In the ebook, I don't teach the uterine alignment self-care, just because it really should be learned from a practitioner. But I do give a nice little self-care massage explanation that they can do at home that's still going to help soften the belly and increase flow.
Well, before we talk about the ebook, I have another question about, what about the massage for men? Is it beneficial for them as well?
Yeah, and ideally with fertility, we'd like to see both the male and the female. It rarely happens, though, that the men are coming in. Usually the men I see are for prostate issues. But it's the same massage. I mean, it's just altered just a little bit in the scooping method. But men can do their self-care massage all month long. So I may tell the woman, you know, show your husband the directions. I'll give them a printout and ask them to do the massage as well for those 3 months, because it's been shown to increase blood flow through the pelvis and nutrition to the sperm. You know, the nutrition is carried through the blood, and so it's very beneficial for male reproduction as well.
So it really helps with the sperm, like if they're having issues with motility or other issues?
Yeah, so I don't think there are any scientific studies that have on this, but I know, and I haven't worked with men enough to know, but it makes sense that would, and Rosita does talk about, Dr. Rosita Arvido does talk about examples of fertility couples she's worked with, and the men with poor sperm motility and doing the mind massage and also making some changes as well, lifestyle changes. You know, so it's a hard thing to have objective measures because everyone's coming in with their own medical history, their own support system. They may be seeking help with through acupuncture and herbalism, and then the practitioner that is doing the treatments, you know, like me, I may bring in 5 or different types of things into the session. So it's hard to have like a scientifically valid study on this, but
right. It does sound like, I mean, again, with the emotional release too, could be something. You know, men are dealing with things as well as they're going through fertility treatments too. So it sounds like it could be a combination of that too. So I, you know, you mentioned an ebook. So I wanted to give you a chance. I know that you have a resource for everybody, and I just wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what it is and where we can find it.
Sure, I have put together a 35-page ebook, and I talk about the fertility protocol that I use, and for IVF and non-IVF fertility enhancement. And I also talk about some case studies. So I'm just starting to get my act together with putting my case series together because I know it can be helpful to other people seeking treatments and for me too. But there is, I have a link in there. It's to a case series, combined manual therapy techniques for treatment with women with fertility challenges. Follows 10 women, and, you know, interesting, 7 of them did have mobility issues with their uterus, and also 7 had restrictions in their sacrum. And 6 of those 10 got pregnant. There is, each woman received treatment, 1 to 6 sessions. And so I have a link. You can look at those details. These women received visceral manipulation, lymphatic drainage, and some cranial sacral as well. And if you want more stories, Journeys in Healing, our Vigo book, I have a link to that that has women who have use our VO work to get pregnant, women with PCOS and blocked fallopian tubes. I have a short self-care abdominal massage in there that you can follow, and some alignment pieces as well from pelvic alignment, so which I think is maybe the number one issue behind malposition of the uterus is just modern life and how we're using our bodies, because the uterus attaches to the inside of the sacrum and pelvis, and so pelvic position is really important. So I'll cover that, signs and symptoms of a displaced uterus, reasons for a displaced uterus, and then a few other links for further study.
Great. So I know that we'll have that link is on the daily email, so everybody can go to the daily email and click on the link for the free gift from Barbara. It sounds like there is a lot of information in there. I know it's hard to get into too much detail on a 30-minute call, but I appreciate you so much being with us today, Barbara, and sharing this information, and I hope that people got some to get a good overview of, you know, all these different with the visceral manipulation and restorative exercise, and then the Arvigo Mayan abdominal massage. So thanks for being with us today, Barbara.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Good. I'm glad you were able to be on, and I just wanted to also thank our listeners for joining in for another day of the Facts of Your Fertility. and I hope that everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.